on this episode of Rev Hang.
Hill for sure being 2 points ahead of Stingray Rob is awesome.
The two titans of Formula One, Lance Stroll and Kevin Magnussen, giving us the entertainment we were looking for.
Audi drivers at least know that they could afford a Mercedes, so.
That's how I describe you to my friends. He's like a Pokemon.
Is it cool to make 9/11 jokes now?
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rev Hang. I'm Nathan, as always, and alongside me virtually is my good friend and co-host, Ben Bagley. How you doing, Ben?
Doing pretty good. Fighting off the allergies after spending a day outside doing yard work, but super worth it. Got a beer cracked, got some ribeye smoking, and I got some races watched.
Nice. That sounds like a fantastic way to end your Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, another we did have two.
Early or mid-spring day in suburbia.
Yes, of course. Just your average spring day. Good stuff. We did have two races this week to watch. The Formula One Chinese Grand Prix and the IndyCar Grand Prix at Long Beach. A classic. Not so great this year, but that's fine.
It's okay. One of these days I want to go to Long Beach and just watch the race in person.
That would be pretty cool. Yeah. More accessible than Monaco, I would say, probably.
Plus, vacation in California. I'd take it.
Yeah. I love California. I've been there a few times.
It's a great place to visit.
Yes. Place to visit for a couple days.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So before we dive into the racing series, let's move into some paddock news. We've got a couple things this week. First off, Fernando Alonso has re-signed with Aston Martin on a multi-year deal. We do not know the exact details of that contract, I do not believe, but we know it is for several years.
So, crucially, does that several signify through 2026, or?
Unclear. I think, based on a couple of interviews and some context, I think that is the case. I think he, from what it sounds like, has an option to step away after 2026, or the team has an option to cut him or something. But point is, Fernando Alonso, the rookie he is still going to be in Formula One in probably the next 2 to 3 seasons at least.
Imagine being the team that cuts Fernando Alonso when your second driver is Lance Stroll.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... Lance Stroll is kind of his saving grace, even though I don't think he needs a saving grace, but...
No, as we'll talk about during today's race.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, so he will be on the grid with Aston Martin, breaking all of our predictions. Although I do think this was the most likely and most logical scenario for Alonso. He's just... I think in a really good spot in that team. He's obviously the team leader. Mm-hmm. He is the first driver. He is putting up consistently solid results on a weekly basis and could possibly be in a competitive car in not only next year, but 2026. Aston Martin's projection has been only upwards and at least in terms of their car's performance, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think Fernando's in the perfect spot for him. I think another team move would only be detrimental to his career.
Yeah, that's probably a good point. I don't know if we talked about it last podcast, but I thought it was kind of funny listening to interviews saying he's so excited for Honda to come back and, you know, do engines for Aston Martin because he had, you know, such a great experience last time he drove a Honda car.
Yes, Fernando Alonso has been known to complain about Honda engines, but that was long before they had won a world championship in recent times. I think last time when he was complaining, the last time Honda had won a world championship, I could be very wrong, but I do believe... Oh, actually, it would have been Braun GP in 2009, so I stand corrected. I was going to say back in the Honda-McLaren days of the 90s.
Like that. Oh, yeah.
But I think Braun GP was, because that was the Honda team before Braun took it over for one season and eventually sold to Mercedes after that one 2009 season in which they won the championship. So just some F1 history for you there.
Yeah, that great little tidbit for you.
Yeah. In other news, Liberty Media, I'm not sure if this happened before last episode. I think I might have missed it last week or 2 weeks ago, but Liberty Media has acquired MotoGP, so we will see all of the fun money grab schemes shift over to that series as well.
Only $80 a year to watch all the MotoGP content you want.
Yep. Yeah, it's the EA of sports entertainment. So do with that as you will. I would assume MotoGP will probably become more popular as a result of this. But
well, the racing
there will
better.
Be downsides.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the question there. But who knows? Who knows what the future of that sport holds? We haven't covered that since season one, really.
Yeah.
Of Rev Hang.
Not that it wasn't really fun to watch, but it's
it's
a lot of racing, and I'd never really fully got into it.
Yeah, kind of hard to get into. I do not ride motorcycles. I know Ben does.
Yeah, I sold mine, but I'm constantly looking on Craigslist for new ones.
There you go.
Constantly.
So, yeah, who knows what happens in MotoGP's future. Maybe they will implement some things that makes the racing more exciting for the layman like me and possibly Ben. But who knows? That is one to watch.
Yeah, I would say I definitely still count as a MotoGP layman, considering my last bike that I owned was a Suzuki V-Strom.
Yeah, true. Possibly a layman. I mean, at least you ride motorcycles, and you kind of understand it a little more than I do.
Sure, yeah. We'll
sure.
go with that.
We'll
thanks,
go
Nathan.
With that. Accept the credit that I'm giving
yeah.
you unduly. All right, moving on. Let's talk about Long Beach and the IndyCar race that we had there. One of the many races that happen at Long Beach every April-ish. We had Formula Drift there this week, and also usually IMSA's there. I think IMSA was there this year, too. This is a classic race on the calendar for IndyCar. It is the Monaco Grand Prix of IndyCar. Only I think it is generally more exciting than Monaco.
Mm-hmm.
This year was okay. Not the best race we've had there. Not a ton happened. We will go through that. But first, let's go through the top 10 in qualifying to give you some context. Starting off on pole position is Felix Rosenqvist, who has had a fantastic year of qualifying so far. Second and third, we have Will Power and Joseph Newgarden. Fourth and fifth, we have Herta and Eriksson. 6 through 10, we have Pelot, Lundgaard, Dixon, Armstrong, and Kirkwood. Moving into the race highlights, Rosenqvist got a good start, but Will Power sent it around the outside of turn 1 to take the lead of the race in a fantastic dive bomb move. In a not-so-fantastic dive bomb move, Pato O'Ward hit the back of Alexander Rossi into turn 2, earning him a drive-through penalty and sending Rossi to the back after he had to pit with damage. So, Pato O'Ward destroying two McLaren's races there. Not great. On lap 15, Christian Rasmussen hit the wall, causing a caution. Drivers went on tons of different strategies, leading to an exciting end of the race as all of the strategies came together. Scott Dixon led the field on a massive fuel save, and Newgarden tracked him down in the final laps with Herta right behind him. With only 9 laps to go, Herta hit Newgarden, disengaging his gearbox, which allowed Herta and Pelot to pass him as he got his car back up and running. Herta chased Dixon for the last 8 laps of the race, but Dixon was able to hold on to win the race on a fantastic strategy.
Herta giving Newgarden the old... I had a really witty joke to make fun of the fact that he smacked Newgarden essentially out of gear, but I lost it, so can keep going. Sorry.
Okay, Ben, that's fair. not great from Herta, but also just a racing incident. That kind of stuff happens in two hairpin corners, and Herta instantly went and apologized to Newgarden after the race was over. Just unfortunate for Joseph that Herta hit him in the worst possible spot, knocking him into anti-stall.
Yeah. And I think it was right to say that was a racing incident from the stewards.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a very hard hit. It didn't. I mean, if everything was fine and Newgarden continued on from that, no one would have really batted an eye. Racing incident for sure, and you got to judge the penalty rather than the outcome. So, I think right call to not penalize Herta for that. But anyway, moving on to the results of the race. Scott Dixon won with Herta and Pillow on the podium. Behind him, fourth and fifth were Newgarden and Eriksson. Eriksson also with a fantastic race. 6 through 10 were Power, Kirkwood, Grosjean, Rosenqvist, and Rossi. Rossi with a great comeback drive. And then 11 through 15, we have Teo Porcher in his first IndyCar race ever in 11th place. Pretty sweet.
That was very exciting.
Marcus Armstrong was 12th. Lundqvist, VK, and Canapino were behind him. 16 through 20 were O'Ward, Rahal, Rob, Simpson, and Siegel. And then 21 through 25 were Ferrucci, Blomqvist, Lundgaard, Fittipaldi, and Jack Harvey. And then 26th and 27th were Scott McLaughlin and Christian Rasmussen for Ed Carpenter Racing. I don't remember what happened to McLaughlin, but he finished 12 laps down.
Oh, weird.
And then Christian Rasmussen crashed out of the race. I don't remember anything happening to McLaughlin, so
yeah, it's news to me. Yeah, I don't either.
Interesting.
The reverse Mandela effect.
Yeah, something like that. All right, let's talk about this race. What there is to talk about. Rosenqvist has had a great qualifying pace the last few weeks. I think he got pole position for the Thermal Club $1 million challenge farce. And then got pole position here in Long Beach. So, great stuff. Did he get pole position in Thermal Club, or was it St. Pete that he did?
You're asking me to remember anything that happened at Thermal Club?
True. I'm trying to block those memories.
Thermal Club.
Regardless, I do believe this is Rosenqvist's second pole position this year. Really awesome stuff from him in a Meyer Shank car.
All right.
Don't really expect to see that.
Thermal Club results. He came pole for that.
Awesome. I was right.
Nice. Good memory.
Thank you. Rosenqvist doing great in that car. Not really a front-running car usually, but he is making the most of it. Colton Herta also had a great race.
Colton Herta actually finishing a race.
Right, and had a good result. Did not have any drama with his team. Had some drama with Newgarden, but again, racing incident. I think we're on the same page there.
Had an actually usable strategy?
Yes, Andretti with an actually usable strategy. Punching back at Penske in this race. Chip Ganassi also winning the street circuit. So Penske started off really well at St. Pete on the street tracks. And then falling off just ever so slightly in this one with Newgarden in fourth and Willpower in sixth. And after that, I forget who all the Penske drivers are.
Yeah, but Ganassi and Andretti are for sure going to have to just be monumental to fight back against Penske. I think Penske is going to be absolutely terrifying this year.
Yeah, I'm getting that vibe too. Newgarden looks real quick.
Like the feeling of like the impending doom, like the shadow clouds like rolling across.
Yeah. Well, you know, if there's Newgarden dominance this year, I would not be against it. I have come to really like the guy after making a nice 13.5 minute long documentary on him about a month ago. You can go check that out on the Red Fang YouTube channel.
Wow, I was just about to ask where I could watch a documentary about 13 minutes long about Joseph Newgarden.
Yes, we do have one. In fact, I am proud of it. I need to get another one out. Thank you. I need to get another one out. I've been a little bit lazy on the Rev Hang front the last couple of weeks. Need to start getting the reels out more consistently and another video. But work in real life has been a bit of a doozy, so excuses aside, I will try to get another video out in the coming weeks. All right, Scott Dixon had a masterclass of a race, driving perfectly to a fuel-saving strategy and at the same time making it look like he was driving flat out the entire race.
Yeah, crazy.
Wild stuff. And then Teo Porcher is our last talking point here. Great first race, finishing 11th in his first IndyCar race after his first time driving an IndyCar was on Friday afternoon. Really impressive stuff. He just won the Formula 2 championship last year, and so he has to sit out of F2 this year. Not sure what his other plans are, but if IndyCar is one of them, I would not complain. If I were him, I would also hold out and wait to see what the Formula 1 driver's market does before he signs anything in the U.S.
At the same time, wouldn't it be so cool if somebody chose IndyCar over F1 as their, like, essentially ultimate series after F2?
That would be pretty nuts, but they did say that Teo Porcher has been an IndyCar fan since he was a little kid, so if it's going to be anybody, it's going to be him.
That would be pretty neat. That'd be a giant middle finger to F1, too.
It would be. I'm not sure I would do that if I was him. I'm sure he can make more money in Formula 1, but yeah, that would be pretty cool to see somebody turn down Formula 1 to go race in a spec series.
Yeah, not that I know anything about either series, but, you know, I bet IndyCar is way more fun.
Yeah. I've heard the cars are more fun to drive, I think. No power steering, a little bit less horsepower, and no turbo, so it's a little easier to drive.
Although,
but also wrestle maybe the car a little more.
Wait, they're turbos, aren't they?
Are they? Oh, they are turbos. My bad. Yeah, they are.
No hybrid system, though.
No hybrid. That's what I was thinking.
Which is potentially changing in some amount of years, maybe?
Potentially. I think they're... I don't know if they're looking for a hybrid system or if they are just looking at zero emission fuels.
Because I know they do... I hear headlines about hybrid testing, you know, once or twice a year every single time when they do testing at the start of the season. They're like, oh, we're testing the hybrid cars. And then I don't hear about it until the next season. They're like, we're testing the hybrid cars again.
It's true. I wouldn't be surprised if we got some hybrid cars in the near future. Everything is moving electric, so I would not be super shocked. I am interested to see what the Formula One engines are going to do to the championship. I am loosely putting my bets on Aston Martin having an absolute great season in 2026. Moving to the Honda engines with Red Bull moving to Ford. Honda has a lot of experience. Yeah, right. Honda has a lot of experience with the low emissions fuels and how to build engines that work with those, just in their road cars department. Honda and Toyota are kind of the leaders in terms of sustainable fuel cars. Over in Japan, they have a lot more than they do here in the States. So I wouldn't be surprised if Honda has a slight edge and in turn it gives Aston Martin that edge. But who can really say? That's a year and a half away.
Yeah, it has been interesting watching the regular car market shift away. You know, everything went towards EVs so fast and they're seeing automakers course correct big into PHEVs. So maybe it becomes more relevant for other race series, but that is an entirely other podcast, I'm sure.
Yes.
So I have many thoughts on this.
All right, let's move into the standings for IndyCar real quick before I move on to Formula One. In first place in the championship is Joseph Newgarden with 87 points, followed by Scott Dixon and Colton Herta. Alex Palou is in fourth, Will Power is in fifth, 6 through 10 are O'Ward, Rosenqvist, Kirkwood, Rossi, and McLaughlin. 11 through 15, we've got VK, Ericsson, Grosjean, Ferrucci, and Kiffin Simpson, if I can English. 16 through 20, we got Canepino, Rahal, Lundqvist, Armstrong, and Fittipaldi. And then 21 through 25, we've got Tom Blomqvist, Teo Porcher, Christian Lundgaard, Callum Ilott, and Stingray Robb. And then 26 through 29, we've got Jack Harvey, Christian Rasmussen, Nolan Siegel, and Colin Braun.
Teo Porcher being 2 points ahead of Stingray Robb is awesome.
Yeah, poor chair. Yeah, and also Jack Harvey, who's been full time, Christian Rasmussen,
He's ahead of Lundgaard too.
Lingard, only at 2 points behind Blomqvist. Yeah. Lingard, for some reason, has had an awful start to the season, which we're not used to.
Yeah. Yeah, he got Rookie of the Year, didn't he? When he was a rookie?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah. He should have. Anyway, moving
Anyway.
on. Let's talk about the Formula One Chinese Grand Prix at the Singapore International Circuit, or Shanghai, not Singapore.
Easy there.
Right, yeah, I'm jumping ahead a few weeks.
Wacky looking
Shanghai.
circuit.
Yeah,
Looks like
wild looking
somebody took a
circuit.
fork in like a spaghetti bowl and like twisted it a little bit a couple
Yeah.
places.
Yeah, this is what happens when you throw a pallet band up in the air and then let it land on the ground. All right. Sprint qualifying. This was the first sprint race of the year. We've got another one in Miami in a couple weeks. Sprint qualifying, new format. This was on Friday. We had Lando Norris taking pole position in a wet qualifying that caused havoc. Lewis Hamilton was second. Fernando Alonso was third, and Max Verstappen was all the way down in fourth place, followed by Carlos Sainz in fifth. Six through ten were Perez, Leclerc, Piastri, Bottas, and Zhou.
Absolutely wild. Love it when rain comes out in qualifying.
Yeah, rain is always fun in qualifying or the race. It's always the great equalizer. Fun stuff. All right, sprint highlights. At the start, Hamilton passed Norris as Norris went wide off the track. Dropping him down to like sixth, I think. On lap 7, Verstappen passed Alonso to take P2. On lap 9, Verstappen passed Hamilton to take the lead. So now we've got all the Verstappen overtakes out of the way that we knew were coming. On lap 16, Sainz passed Alonso after banging wheels with him and causing Alonso a puncture. In this mix, Perez passed the pair of them to take P3, and Leclerc passed Alonso for P5. Sainz defended from Leclerc by shoving him off the track at the end of the next lap, and then the lap after, Leclerc passed Sainz into turn one. Not a ton of action in that race. We kind of went over all of the main parts
Yeah.
already, but that one lap, lap 16, was really fun to watch. Very
Scorcher,
exciting.
yeah.
Right. The results of the sprint race, we've got Max Verstappen in first, Hamilton and Perez on the podium behind him, then Leclerc and Sainz. 6 through 10 were Norris, Piastri, Russell, Zhou, and Magnussen. And then 11 through 15, we had Ricciardo, Bottas, Ocon, Stroll, and Gasly. And 16 through 19, running off the finishers, were Tsunoda and Albon, Sargeant and Hülkenberg. And then Fernando Alonso did not finish the race after that puncture that he got from Sainz. Moving into qualifying this week for the Grand Prix, Max Verstappen on pole position once again for the fifth or sixth time in a row. Perez was in second and Alonso was in third, followed by Norris and Piastri. 6 through 10 were Leclerc, Sainz, Russell, Hülkenberg, and Bottas. 11 through 15 were Stroll, Ricciardo, Ocon, Albon, and Gasly. 16 through 20 were Zhou, Magnussen, Hamilton, Tsunoda, and Sargeant. Moving into the Grand Prix highlights, Verstappen maintained the lead on the start, but Alonso passed Perez into turn one. On lap 5, Perez got back past Alonso to take P2. On lap 7, Norris passed Alonso for P3. And on lap 12, Leclerc passed Piastri for P5. On lap 14, 2 laps later, Verstappen and Perez double stacked their pit stops and had lightning fast stop times. On lap 19, Bottas had an engine failure, continuing his pain in that kick sauber and eventually bringing out a virtual safety car, and
Such a
after
good
that, a
qualifying
full
too.
safety car. He did. It looks like kick sauber might have actually had the potential to have a good weekend,
I
and
know,
then
like
they
halfway
threw it all
through,
away.
not even halfway through the race, I was like, damn, Kick Sauber's kind of driving right now. And
Yeah.
then just it all went away.
They looked like a middle of the midfield team for the first time
Yeah.
this season.
It's too good to be true. I knew it.
Yeah. So unfortunately, they messed that up. The race restarted on lap 26, where Stroll went bowling on the restart and absolutely plowed into Daniel Ricciardo, ending Ricciardo's race. Stroll was able to continue. On lap 27, Magnussen spun Tsunoda, breaking his wheel and ending his race. This brought out another safety car. On the restart, Stroll and Magnussen had a fantastic battle at the back of the field. The two titans of Formula One, Lance Stroll and Kevin Magnussen, giving us the entertainment we were looking for. On lap 39...
Most definitively second drivers of the team that could ever second driver at a team.
Yeah. On lap 39, Perez passed Leclerc for P3. And Alonso made his way through the field at the end of the race on fresh tires to finish, I believe, 7th. Yep.
That was impressive to me.
Alonso had a horrible strategy. Doubting.
Yeah, they pitted him so late on those softs. And then they're like, all right, here's some mediums. Go get them.
Yeah, Alonso was on a terrible pit strategy and somehow made every tire they put him on work to the maximum potential.
The exact opposite of Lewis Hamilton.
Lewis Hamilton fully complaining about his tires for the entire race. And
I don't actually know if there's a tire where he was like, yeah, this tire's good. We should use this one.
Yeah, I think it was the mediums.
The medium?
I think. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was the mediums where he's like, these tires are just awful.
Or I thought it was the softs he hated. I don't remember. It was
because he started on the mediums and he pitted up for like 12 laps, right?
I thought he started on softs. Maybe that was... No, that was Russell in the sprint race. I don't remember. There's a lot of drivers.
Yes.
Remembering 20 pit strategies is not not easy.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, going through the results of the race, we had Max Verstappen in first, followed by Norris and Perez on the podium. Lando with some redemption from the day prior. Fourth and fifth were Leclerc and Sainz. 6 through 10 were Russell, Alonso, Piastri, Hamilton, and Hülkenberg with another point this season. 11 through 15, we had Ocon, Albon, Gasly, Zhou, and Stroll. 16 and 17 running off the finishers were Magnussen and Sargent. And then our three DNFs this race were Ricciardo, Tsunoda, and Bottas.
Adding that 10-second penalty to Sargent at the end just as like a final, like, take this.
Done. Yeah.
Which, to be fair, that was, he did technically, you know, break that pit or safety car rule or pit lane rule or whatever. Both. But, man, that was close. I had to look through the rules myself. I tried to figure out what was going on.
Yeah, he did not beat, I believe it was Hülkenberg, to the safety car line when Hülkenberg was coming out of the pits, and then passed him under safety car conditions. Very close there, but technically it did, in fact, break the rules. So, unfortunately, got himself that penalty, adding to his pain, not that it would have mattered anyway. Sargent was incredibly slow this week.
Yep.
Like, remarkably so.
Yeah, even Albon, like, how far ahead was he? Not an insignificant amount. But even Albon was still buried in between two Alpines.
Yeah. Alpine actually had a decent race this week, finishing 11th and 13th. Almost cracking the points, but not quite. Looks like Ocon was 2.8 seconds or 2.4 seconds off the points. Definitely progress, but not quite there yet.
Yeah, maybe after summer break, they'll be fighting for points.
We will see. A lot of teams got upgrades this week, and so I think that leads to a lot of shakeups in the order. But yeah, all right. Verstappen absolutely on another planet this week.
Yep.
Just nowhere close to anybody else. Lance Stroll, on another planet this week, but for different reasons.
Bro is high.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, it's clear what he was doing. If you watch his onboard on the first safety car restart, there was a concertina effect where It's basically, you know, drivers are slamming on the brakes in front of each other because of just the nature of safety car restarts. And Lance Stroll was not even looking at Daniel Ricciardo in front of him, just absolutely flew into the back of Ricciardo, barely braked at all before that, and then proceeded to blame Ricciardo for braking for the corner.
Yeah, hold on. I just had to look up what concertina effect was. Really quick on the website. I'm getting a bunch of artery phenomenon.
I don't know.
Here you go.
I don't know. It's not. Basically,
it's just accordion.
Yeah, a concertina is an accordion for us uneducated Americans.
I don't speak Italian. What do you want?
No shade at you, Ben. That's not what I meant by that. But most Americans do not call them concertinas, is what I mean by that. We call them accordions. If you think about it, on a safety car restart, especially when there's a hairpin or a long straight, in the case of Mugello, which is where we saw this in effect last in 2021, to a much more extreme degree. Basically, the race gets started, and at the end of the hairpin, drivers start driving quickly because everybody has started racing, and then they slam on the brakes right after they start going to make the corner like normal. This causes the driver behind to slam on the brakes even harder because they have to factor their reaction time to this in, which causes the driver behind them to slam the brakes even harder because they have less reaction time. And so the drivers will just keep getting closer and closer to each other until we see what happened with Stroll and Ricciardo. But
the
in this
old
case,
Australia 2022 phenomenon.
Yeah. In this case, Stroll just was not paying attention and wasn't even looking at Daniel Ricciardo. Flew into the back of him, destroyed Daniel's diffuser, ended his race, and then called Ricciardo an idiot for braking and not going into the car in front of him.
Yeah.
Which did not make Ricciardo happy.
Yeah. His interview after the race is pretty funny.
Yeah, he is not pleased with Lance Stroll.
Most drivers weren't.
Let's talk about Lance Stroll a little bit.
Specifically
Aston Martin. I truly believe, like I've already alluded to earlier, that Aston Martin in the next few years has the chance to compete for a title, or at the very least race wins. And I think their only chance at having a title is without Lance Stroll.
You're probably very correct in that, in saying that.
I understand why he is in the sport. Everyone does. I can't fault him for it specifically. I think possibly Lawrence Stroll's pride in his son is costing his team very
literal
big
money.
Yes, like millions
get
of
money
dollars
for finishing in certain places.
Yes, where you finish in the championship determines what your payout is at the end of the season. And, you know, looking at how Aston's season is going, just looking at the standings, they're in fifth behind Mercedes. And that is pretty much all Fernando Alonso's points. Alonso has 31, Stroll has 9. Stroll has been nowhere near Alonso at all. And I truly believe that Aston would be in fourth right now if they had someone like an Alex Albon on their team.
Oh, that'd be so cool. Plus, yeah, F1 is such like a marketing exercise too. Having somebody with as little presence as Lance Stroll, with as little performance as Lance Stroll, has got to be, you know, especially when he does stuff like this, has got to be, you know, damaging for an image too. There's only so much weight to that, you know, a luxury mark like Aston Martin and a legendary driver like Fernando Alonso can do when you put him next to a guy who likes to bury his car into other people.
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. Just think about marketing from that perspective. Like, if you go up to a person on the street and ask them what they think of when they think about Aston Martin, they're going to say James Bond.
James Bond.
James Bond, 100%. That is the marketing success of Aston Martin. I think they are a little bit past that era. I think they are probably in a place where they would like to be known for their Formula One standings, like their where they are. Like if you say McLaren, people think fast cars and Formula One. If you say Ferrari, people think fast cars and Formula One. If you say Red Bull, people think of a soft drink, but that is for different reasons.
Yeah. Soft drink, biplanes, mountain bikes, sailing, yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you think like Red Bull, if you think what's one past soft drinks, extreme sports,
That is true. Yeah.
that's what they're known for. I mean, every extreme sport out there, whatever you label as an extreme sport, you see Red Bull sponsorship,
Yeah.
whether it's downhill mountain biking or ski jump or NASCAR, you've got Red Bull everywhere. So they've done a really good job in that era.
Probably the
Mercedes,
best.
yeah, Mercedes was known for Formula One for a while,
And
probably
honestly,
still
I would say
are.
that they're one of the car manufacturers who's still best known and most closely tied to F1, aside from maybe Ferrari and McLaren.
Yeah, that's true. I do think if you take that same litmus test, though, and go ask a person what the first thing they think of when they think about Mercedes is, they say luxury car
Yeah.
before F1 even enters their mind.
That's true, but does that really say more about our gen? No, I can't go into that rant. I'm not gonna.
Okay.
So boring. That's another podcast.
Yeah, so many other podcast options we got here, Ben.
Ben's thoughts on that asshole who cut me off on I-5 yesterday.
Yeah, well, that's BMW, but they're not in a
At
Formula One, so
least BMW drivers do it on purpose. Mercedes drivers just aren't even paying attention.
yeah, and then we're gonna see Audi as a back marker flashing their brights at you from behind the field next year, right?
Yeah, at least they're pretty closely tied to rally, so at least you have that. And Audi drivers at least know that they couldn't afford a Mercedes, so
Yeah, the more financially stable of the car manufacturers. I don't even think that's true, but it's fine.
you walk up
Anyway.
to them and they'll say, I actually like the understeer. I like that my car understeers. Not like one of those dangerous BMWs.
Yeah, it's really good in the snow, though. That's, yeah, you gotta remember that.
Bougie Subaru
yeah. anyway. Moving on from this rant, point is, I don't think anything about Lance Stroll is good for Aston Martin at the moment, and hasn't been for a while, and I think this season it is becoming more glaringly obvious than it ever has been in the past that Aston Martin could be so much more if they got another second driver that was more consistent and less quick to blame other people for literally everything he does.
Very true.
If you
I
go
wonder
back
if.
and watch Lance Stroll incidents, I can't think of a single time where he's come into contact with another driver and said, "Yeah, that was on me."
There's a reason there's a verb calling getting strolled on the
Yeah.
internet.
Well, that applies to a different thing, but yes.
But people use it to describe when you get crashed into by Lance Stroll as well. It's
That's
almost
fair.
just as well used.
Yeah. So on this after this rant on Aston Martin, I think to summarize, please get somebody else in the car. Lance Stroll has proven that he is not championship material.
I wonder if
We'll
Yuki
see.
Tsunoda would follow Honda to Aston Martin.
That is another possibility. I don't see Yuki at RB next season. That would be a very good fit. And if we're talking about marketing plays, that is absolutely the one.
Big brain.
Big brain. Good stuff, Ben.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I know a lot
But,
about this, so I can make educated remarks.
yeah. We'll see what happens. I think Aston Martin, I mean, they are, Aston Martin is definitely in the World Endurance Lane as well. Maybe Lance Stroll would fit better in that world.
Send that boy to IMSA.
He can still drive for your dad, just not in, not with the other big boys.
Yeah. He gets to go race in the backyard with his friends.
Are we being harsh? Yes. No. But I don't think it's undeserved. I think we've seen enough of Lance Stroll. All right. Negativity aside, what was I doing? Oh, it's time for
meme break.
Us
meme
to
break.
Continue our talking points. Never mind. Not yet. Not yet on the meme break, Ben.
Okay.
Ricardo beat Tsunoda this week as another talking point. He did look faster than Yuki all week.
Mm-hmm.
This was Ricardo's first performance. I was going to say good, but this is the first performance he's had that has been what we've expected
adequate.
From him all year.
He did change chassis before this race, didn't he?
He did, and the team immediately said that it wouldn't make any difference, and if there was any difference, it was all mental. So, who knows if that's true, but it doesn't sound like they're too quick to encourage Ricardo.
Yeah.
But he did beat Tsunoda. He did what he needed to do. I think he probably earned himself a little more sympathy
leeway.
From RB and leeway. He needs to keep doing this, though, to keep that rope.
One more
race. What happens.
It's like when you're playing a board game against your friend, except your friend is Liam Lawson. You get that one card that puts you up one square. Liam Lawson still went up a square, but he's not catching up to you as much.
Right. Ricardo extended his life in the sport, I think, with this race. And he has to keep that going. Alright, McLaren resurgence. I don't know how much of a resurgence it is, but another great weekend from McLaren. Definitely the second quickest car, or at least Lando was the second quickest car this week. I think Piastri had damage. He did, after the restart, when Stroll plowed into Ricardo, Ricardo then went into the back of Piastri and destroyed his diffuser. So, unfortunate for Piastri, but it looks like the McLaren was the second fastest car this week after they said they were going to be 35 seconds behind McLaren, or behind Ferrari, sorry.
Which is a really weird thing to say, and then be so much faster.
Very weird thing. Who knows if they're sandbagging? I personally don't think so. I just think they underestimated their ability. But
do teams even sandbag in this sport anymore? I know that was the joke with Mercedes, you know, 3-4 years back. But there's not one team that I've seen that I could say like, oh yeah, they're totally sandbagging in testing, or they're totally sandbagging.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Not sure on that one. But McLaren, regardless, had a great race. I think this is a good sign for the future. I think a battle between McLaren and Ferrari would be fantastic this year. I'm still not sure if that will happen. But McLaren, at the very least, looks pretty cemented to take P3 in the championship, the Constructors. If not, fight for P2.
Yeah, it's not like Mercedes is going to do anything about it.
No, not with the current state of things there in Hamilton. Not being able to figure the car out. I just think him moving to Ferrari, I think there's some regrets from a lot of people on this one. I'm not sure how he'll do at Ferrari, but you'd be hard-pressed to tell me that he's going to fare better than Carlos Sainz would have next year.
Yeah.
That's just me, though. All right. Leclerc, speaking of Ferrari, did have a good weekend. First time he comprehensively beat Carlos Sainz this year. Wasn't too terribly different, but this is the first week where they have driven together, and Sainz has not looked better than Leclerc. I'll say it that way.
Yeah. Which, you know, for a team that's... I mean, this would be a great dynamic to be seeing if Sainz is going to be staying at the team for another couple of years, because you can see that you have two drivers who are just as capable as each other to, you know, give and take throughout races, throughout a season. But, Yeah, that just loops right back to the Hamilton to Ferrari debate, so we can I'll be quiet for a little bit.
Okay.
I'm being circular.
All right, Ben. Now.
Yes.
It is time for the meme break. I know you've been excited for this.
Meme break. Meme break. Do I want to show my head for this?
No. You can. Yeah, do that. Do your dual capture.
Yeah, I love the dual capture. It makes me feel so official.
You are official, Ben. In my heart.
So, yeah, after the restart, like, sir, a second Red Bull's been hit. Or a second RB has been hit. Are we allowed? Is it cool to make 9/11 jokes now?
I think we're far enough removed.
It's not cool to do it, but I think if it's not,
I don't think it's.
We're allowed to use iconic.
I will say this, Ben. A solid 85% of our audience, all over all platforms, are between the ages of 18 and 25. So the majority of them probably were
Zoomers,
not even born.
Yeah.
So.
Zoomers are chill.
I think you're good.
Jokes.
Yeah, pretty good. We weren't old enough.
George Bush jokes. How about that? Now
there
that's a deep well of memes. But yeah, informing George Bush that a second Red Bull has been hit.
Yes.
Who's the team principal for RB at this point?
RB team principal. I don't remember.
Do we even
his
know?
Name, but it's some guy that they promoted.
Some guy. Name. Very cool.
Not Franz Tost. That's not who it is. It's not Franz Tost.
Yeah. That's what I've been calling the not Renault team principals, you know? Not Renault, man.
Yeah. all right.
Yeah. I'll
get back on your headshot, Ben. All right. Let's go through the standings real quick in Formula One. First place, of course, is Max Verstappen, followed by Sergio Perez, and then Charles Leclerc in third, close ahead of Carlos Sainz, and Lando Norris is in fifth, followed by Oscar Piastri in sixth. 7 through 10, we have Russell, Alonso, Hamilton, and Stroll. So again, I think any other teammate, and Aston is ahead of Mercedes this year. But anyway, we'll go back into that. 11 through 15, Tsunoda, Behrman, Hülkenberg, Magnussen, and Albon. Then 16 through 21, we have Ocon, Zhou, Ricciardo, Gasly, Bottas, and Sargent. Alex Albon is the highest ranked finisher without a single point yet. We still have Ollie Behrman in 12th after one race. Nico Hülkenberg. Hülkenberg has 4 points now. Very good performances from him, making Kevin Magnussen look bad.
Yep. Yeah, him and Tsunoda are both really outshowing their teammates at this point.
Yeah. Hülkenberg, I think, is doing... Everyone is talking about the possibility of Nico Hülkenberg to Audi next year. And honestly, if he keeps doing this, I don't hate it. I think it's actually more likely than not. You get a German driver in there, probably kick Joe out, unfortunately.
Not super expensive.
Yep, not going to be very expensive. You've got a German at a German team. If you do come out swinging like you anticipate in 2026, you've got a driver who is consistent, and everybody would be rooting for your team because we all want to see Nico Hülkenberg score a podium.
Get this man a podium stat.
Audi is his best chance to do it left in his career, but he has to get that seat first. And
I would bet that Hülkenberg would pay to get that seat at Audi and get out of Haas.
I think so too.
How much do you think Hülkenberg would pay to not have to race for Haas?
I don't know. A non-zero amount, probably. but yeah, so Audi, let's talk about this. I know at the beginning of the year we did our pre-season driver's seat positions or swaps or whatever. What are we thinking about Audi 5 races into the race?
Can't come soon enough.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
I don't know what I'm thinking. I think almost, you know, Bottas has been driving well enough. I think
I mean,
you cut Joe.
Got it into Q3. for the race. So maybe there's still a little glimmer of light left in his eyes. Maybe he won't retire to Colorado after this year. Who knows?
Maybe not. I think the play for Audi at the moment would be cut Joe, replace him with Nico Hülkenberg, and then try to get Carlos Sainz. If you do get Carlos Sainz, you replace Bottas. If you can't get Carlos Sainz, you re-sign Bottas.
There you go.
And then you got Bottas, Hülkenberg, two very consistent, good drivers.
Yeah, very experienced drivers to help lead car development.
Because that's going to be huge, because Audi's just entering the sport for the first time. And so to have two highly experienced drivers, one of them has been in a... like has been in four or five championship winning cars. I think that is a very, very good play for them. And obviously if you can replace Bottas with Sainz, then you get the same ish amount of experience, in terms of the level,
a much faster driver,
a faster driver that has at this point, I think more podiums than Bottas. No, that's not true. There's no way.
We've got a few years for Sainz to catch up to Bottas' podiums.
Yeah. But I think Sainz overall put them in the same
momentum
car.
How about that?
Yeah, that's a good one. More recent results.
Yeah.
I think if you put Sainz and Bottas in the same car, Sainz wins, hands down. But, I mean, you never know, obviously, unless you do it. But
yeah. Plus, again, F1 is marketing. Bottas is great for marketing. Probably one of the main things keeping mind share of Sauber in anybody's mind is, oh yeah, Bottas is the really cool guy.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think, honestly, for Bottas, if he's looking to find a smooth exit out of Formula 1, smooth transition out, not looking to pick up big results, just want to pull a Kimi Räikkönen and do it as a hobby, moving to Haas, I think, would be good. If he gets cut from Sauber and Hülkenberg leaves Haas, Bottas to Haas makes sense because Bottas, as we know, is an honorary American.
Yep.
Honorary Australian. Granted. Yeah. He basically lives here. when he's not racing, he's in Colorado.
Racing gravel bikes.
Racing gravel bikes with his significant other.
Just drinking beers and riding bikes.
Yeah, drinking beer, gin, riding bikes, doing all the Swedish thing. Or
we should all
Swedish,
be so lucky.
Finnish things in America. Yeah, I think Bottas to Haas, I think that's a good fit for Haas and for Bottas. If he's looking to exit the sport, if he's looking to move up, I don't see that in his cards, but I would stay at Sauber if he wants the best chance, if he can.
Yep.
So, yeah. That's,
I think Williams might actually be another good place for him.
Williams would also be good. His first team was Williams. That was the team that brought him on.
Full circle. Replace Sargeant next year?
Absolutely full circle. I think Williams has other options on the table that are more exciting than Valtteri Bottas.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right on that.
So, I still see Antonelli going to Williams. Possibly. I mean, it just depends on how the rest of his F2 season goes, but you got Antonelli. Who else do you have on option? Probably Teo Porcher will be available.
No, we've already decided he's just going to be in IndyCar. He doesn't have a choice. He has to stay in IndyCar.
Yeah, if only.
Sorry.
Ollie Bearman is a contender for a Haas seat. I don't know. There's a lot of things. The driver market is still wide open. I know I said last time that once the first domino falls, they're all going to fall. Alonso to Aston Martin did not really get that chain going. But, you know, I still hold that once a big team gets their driver, things are going to start slotting into place a lot quicker.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Did we go through? We went through standings, right? Yeah.
Yes.
I don't think we went through constructors. So we got Red Bull, Ferrari, McLaren, Mercedes, Aston in the top five, and then RB, Haas, Williams, Alpine, and Sauber in the bottom five. Sauber in last place, still cannot figure out how to run a Formula One team for some reason. Alpine moves up to ninth. I think they might have been a ninth after last week anyway, or last race. Still Alpine with the slowest car, just Sauber with the incompetence. We say this as armchair experts, of course.
Yeah. We know a lot, but we can't do a lot.
Obviously. All right, let's move on to the pit stop championship. We got Red Bull 1 and 2 with the first sub-2-second pit stop of the season.
Yeah, Emily pointed that out to me. He's like, she pointed out to me. He's like, they just did a second double stack, and Max Verstappen was under 2 seconds. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I completely missed it. I didn't even realize because it was too fast for me to actually like zone in and realize that it had happened. I didn't start paying attention until Perez was like halfway through his.
Yeah, so Red Bull had 2 double stacks this race. Both of them were very, very good. The second one especially. Verstappen had a 1.9 second pit stop. Perez on the second one I think was 2.1. And then Perez's first pit stop on the first double stack was 2 seconds flat. So very, very good double stacks. Both double stacks had under 2.2 seconds for both cars, which is ridiculous.
Ludicrous.
In third place, we had Lando Norris and the McLaren with 2.2 seconds. Fourth and fifth, we had Tsunoda, Piastri. 6 through 10, we had Ricciardo, Leclerc, Sainz, Hamilton, and Russell. So, quickly going through our pit stop championship standings, we have Verstappen out in front, followed by Perez, Leclerc, Norris, and Hamilton. Sainz, Tsunoda, Piastri, Ocon, and Russell in the top 10. Then we got Alonso, Gasly, Magnussen, Hulkenberg, Ricciardo. Ricciardo scoring his first points in the pit stop championship this year, this race. And then 16 through 21, we have Albon, Stroll, Behrman, Sargent, Zhou, and Bottas. Both Sauber drivers are yet to score points.
Do you think they will score points this season?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they'll score points this season, but it might be a while. If they don't, I don't know what I'll
do.
I don't know. We got to make a bet for this, right? I'll take a shot of hot sauce if they don't score a point. If a Sauber driver does not score a point, or if Sauber as a team does not score a single point, I will take a shot of hot sauce on the podcast.
I get to choose the hot sauce.
No.
Okay, that's unfortunate.
Or I'll let you choose it, but I get to veto.
You get veto power.
I'm not going to injure myself on the internet. But
I wouldn't do that to you.
That's what gets engagement, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that to you.
Yeah,
it would be uncomfortable, but it wouldn't cause lasting damage.
All right, you know what? I'll let you choose the hot sauce then, Ben. We'll do it at the end of the final episode if I need to do it, because I probably won't be able to talk after I take the shot. So you will wrap the last episode.
Will I have to hang the sword above my head, and if they do score points, I have to take the shot? That way, no matter what, we get content.
Oh, so if Sauber doesn't score any points, we both take a shot?
If Sauber doesn't score any points, then I have to take a shot.
Oh, I see. So if Sauber doesn't score any points, you do. If Sauber does, then I do. Is that what you're saying?
No, flip it, because you think that they are going to score points.
Okay, right? So if Sauber doesn't, then I take a shot. If Sauber does, then you take a shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll
do
that.
Figured out.
Guaranteed
content.
I'm
brain dead a little bit. Yeah, guaranteed content no matter what.
I'd say we got to write it down, but I know someone that's going to hold me to it no matter what. So I was going to say this is good, but now I'm concerned. All right. Team championship. We got Red Bull, Ferrari, McLaren, Mercedes, and RB. And then Alpine, Aston Martin, Haas, Williams, and Sauber.
Yep.
R10.
Very illuminating on pit strategies of teams too, because generally pit strategy is also kind of influenced by how fast you think you can do your pits.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the overtake of the week, we've got Fernando Alonso on Sergio Perez on the first lap of the Chinese Grand Prix. Went all the way around the outside of turn one on cold tires. Lap one, kept it clean, made it stick, almost overtook Verstappen as well. very good overtake. Wasn't anything too crazy in terms of dive bombs this week that were successful and didn't end up destroying Daniel Ricciardo's car. But
there
yeah,
were no passing attempts that didn't end up destroying an RB.
True. yeah. Or Pato O'Ward destroying his teammate's car.
Classic.
Yeah, classic stuff. All right. Weekly predictions. Let's talk about last week's predictions and start with the Long Beach Grand Prix in IndyCar. Pole position went to Felix Rosenqvist. What do you got, Ben?
Speaking of O'Ward, I had O'Ward for this.
I had Grosjean. Then podium went
Grosjean
to...
Grosjean-L.
Yeah, common. podium went to Dixon, Herta, and Palou. What was your podium, Ben?
I had Herta, Dixon, and Lundgaard. Ugh, putting my faith in the wrong ass rookie driver.
Well, you got 2 out of 3. I had Grosjean, Dixon, and Kirkwood, so I got 1 out of 3.
I think that actually might be one of my best predictions so far, is having 2 out of the possible 5 different options.
Yeah. Winning pit stops was 2. What'd you have, Ben?
I was hoping for 3.
Yeah, I had 2, so I got that one. But I think you said last time you wanted to do 2, but you wanted to be different as well, so...
Yeah.
In spirit, we'll give you that point.
I've failed some classes because... Or failed some practice classes because I simply wanted to do them differently than everybody else.
There's your problem, Ben.
Contrary nature, I'm like a Pokemon.
That's fair. That's how I describe you to my friends. He's like a Pokemon.
He's like a contrary nature Pokemon.
All right. Chinese Grand Prix. Top 5, to remind everybody, was Verstappen, Norris, Perez, Leclerc, and Sainz. What was your top 5, Ben?
Well, there's no reason to be contrary about Verstappen being in first. Had Leclerc after that. And then Perez in 3rd, Sainz in 4th, Alonso in 5th, and I had Tsunoda as my dark horse. The one weekend where Tsunoda was not a good choice for a dark horse, apparently.
Yeah.
I had so close to that 5th place, so too. Close. I could taste it.
Almost. I had Verstappen winning, and then I got the rest wrong. I had Perez, Sainz, Norris, and Leclerc, which actually was the top 5, but I just got them in the wrong order. Yeah. And then my dark horse was Lewis Hamilton, who had a great race, but after a poor qualifying, that was never going to happen.
LOL at Hamilton being put as a dark horse and not even making it into top 5 anyways.
Yeah. Not even making it close
to
top
5. Bro's given
five.
Very nearly the lowest level of expectations and still failed us.
All right, fastest lap went to Fernando Alonso. What'd you have, Ben?
That was Leclerc. I did not expect Alonso to come up with the fast Scorchron mediums.
Yeah. I had Verstappen. Both got that wrong. And the driver of the day went to Lando Norris. What'd you have, Ben?
I had Verstappen.
And I had Alonso. I think
that was
Lando Norris.
I feel like Alonso deserved that more than Norris.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think if
Norris
we're talking
had a good
about...
drive, but Alonso had some heroics.
Yeah. If we're talking about pure... driving, having to pass people, I think Alonso deserved it a little more. I think in terms of the drive overall, I think Norris earned that. I think it was pretty close between the two of them. I think Lewis Hamilton should have been in that conversation if we're talking about overtakes and driving. If we're talking about pure entertainment, Zhou Guan Yu should have been up there.
Yeah.
He was overtaking people left and right after the worst of pit strategies from his team. And then... if we're giving it to the person who provided the most entertainment, it goes to Lance Stroll and Kevin Magnussen.
Definitely one of the drivers on the day.
Yeah, one of the drivers of the day. Got a lot of options. I think Norris and Alonso were the two most deserving, though, yeah.
Yeah.
Lando Norris has been winning driver of the day all the time for the last year and a half.
Too bad they're not worth actual points.
Too bad indeed. All right. IndyCar Grand Prix of Alabama. Will it be the Children's of Alabama Grand Prix, which we always
Children
mix
of the
up
Corn
the name.
Alabama Grand Prix?
Children of the Corn are a little too far south for that, but
I'm
not going to go any further into that. Things are... anyway, pole position. What do you got, Ben?
I have power for this one.
Okay, I've got Newgarden. Podium. What's your podium?
Dixon, Power, and Pillow. A couple of Penske boys.
Solid Penske boys. And then we got... I have Newgard and Grosjean and Pillow.
Still on that Grosjean train, huh? Just never learn, do you?
I never will learn.
Ready to be hurt again.
You know, I think every time he joins a new team, I'm hopeful, and then I remember eventually, about halfway through the season, that it's Grosjean.
Man, so it's not in F1 anymore for a reason.
If we get an oval race under our belt, I think after that I'll realize what I've done.
Because by Grosjean, then it will have been too late.
I want him to win.
I finally learned to stop putting Herta on my podiums every single time. I've been Herta too many times.
You've been Herta too many times. yeah, we'll see how long it takes me to get off this Grosjean train. I don't think too much longer, though. Once we see an oval race where he crashes out two laps before the end of the race, I think that will...
Get it out of your system.
Jog my memory, yeah. All right, winning number of pit stops. What do you got, Ben?
Going with three again. Eventually, three will be the number.
And I've got two. I've got two again. I almost put one, but I don't remember what happened last year, so...
I don't either.
All right. Moving on to the Miami Grand Prix in 2 weeks' time. What do you got for your top five, Ben?
I've got Verstappen, Perez, Alonso in third. Going to give him the podium this time. Let's hope he doesn't mess it up. Leclerc and Sainz. And then I forgot Tsunoda as my dark horse. Hopefully he doesn't mess it up.
Solid. Some heat coming from Ben this week.
I want to win.
I've got Verstappen in first, followed by Perez. So we both have that Red Bull 1-2, which is what happened last year, I believe. Then we got Norris. I've got Norris P3 and Sainz P4 with Piastri P5. I think Piastri will have a somewhat of a comeback drive. I know McLaren does not like the slow speed corners, the low speed corners. So it's possible this could be a little bit optimistic. Maybe throw Leclerc in there instead of Piastri. But I'm going with Piastri.
It's a fun little risk.
I'm a McLaren fan. I got to represent. All right. And my dark horse was Nico Hülkenberg, who has been driving fantastic.
You think he's going to break a little further past than the bottom, you know, eight places this time?
I was looking at my options for dark horses. I cannot count Alonso as a dark horse in good faith, and I can't count Leclerc, I can't count Stroll, and that leaves Hülkenberg as my next option. So
you already used Hamilton. You have to put Hamilton on cooldown.
I literally typed Hamilton the first time I put this in, and then I remembered I did last time, and I was like, okay, I gotta calm down a little bit. This is the Sergio Perez Shade podcast, not Lewis Hamilton.
We haven't talked about him at all of this podcast.
No, we haven't. I had to throw one in there.
There you go. Good catch.
For completion. Anyway, fastest lap. What do you got, Ben?
I have Verstappen for this.
I've got Sainz. And then driver of the day, what do you got?
If Alonso gets a podium, Alonso gets driver of the day.
This is most likely true. And then I've got Sergio Perez.
Yep.
So
this is for sure one of the races that I associate with Perez the most is the Miami Grand Prix.
It's one of the few that he's won, I think, yeah. We'll see what happens. Street circuit, he's good at those. Close to Mexico, not quite as close as Austin, but he's gonna have the home field.
There's a lot of history there that we should not get into. We could, but I don't know enough about it.
I don't know what history you're speaking of.
Well, Florida and, like...
Oh, yeah, okay, I gotcha. All right, yeah. Anyway, that's a whole nother podcast. Go listen to, what is it, Drunk History? That one's a good one.
Yeah.
For the Spanish-American War. It's not.
Was that actually part of the Spanish-American War?
I don't know. Florida? I'm making things up.
I made it up. Source? made it's revealed to me in a dream.
I know it was a Spanish territory at one point.
Yeah. As far as I'm getting. I'm an engineer.
Moving on. Yeah. I didn't take history in college. All right. We have a question before we get on to Ben's words of wisdom. Once again from Omega Echo Kane. If you could remove one rule from racing, which one would it be?
First
I
of all, I would
have.
just like to say I read that as Omega Choke Chain.
It's
I apologize.
close. All right, one rule we could remove from racing. I've got. Well, okay. Here's the thing, there's so many different series with so many different rules that we can't really remove a rule from racing. I guess we could.
What's a
Is there a.
universal rule in
The
racing, I
problem
guess?
is universal rules in racing are pretty good.
They're pretty useful.
It's a very small list because most of the rules come from the series. Are we going racing in general or. Let's go Formula One because I think
Okay.
racing in general is pretty solid. So, Formula One, there's two that I can think of off the top of my head immediately. First one is I think teams should not be allowed to change tires under red flag conditions.
Ooh, interesting.
The second one also revolves around red flags, and we see it most prominent in the Monaco GP. I think we need to get onto the IndyCar rules in qualifying of if you cause a caution or a red flag during qualifying, your fastest time is deleted.
Ooh. Yeah, that's a good one. I can definitely see how that's very Monica related.
Yes. I mean, we've had, what, three of the last four Monaco Grand Prix have drama around red flags causing someone else to take pole position that wouldn't have otherwise. Usually the person who benefits is the person who crashes. Yeah, that's kind of the main reason. But it happens in more than just Monaco, it's just more obvious in Monaco because generally every accident in Monaco becomes a red flag. But if you crash in another track, you'll probably cause at the very least double wave yellows, which if you heard that thump, I'm sorry, I don't know what just happened. Anyway, if you cause a double wave yellow, pretty much everybody that goes through that sector is going to be compromised by it. So, that would be my rule. I don't know if you can think of anything else, Ben.
The first one that I can think of is, don't know, I just lost it. No, I had it. It was What was it? I think it was something to do with red flags, but I can't. Oh, I would get rid of the no refueling rule, actually. Yeah, there you go.
No refueling. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see
Bring
that
back
too.
refueling.
Yeah, that's a solid one. I
And
think I would also get rid of. This isn't really a rule change, but I would get rid of wet weather tires and make the intermediates farther away from slicks.
that was actually going to be my second one, is stop having red flags when it's raining.
Yeah. Make the intermediates just the only wet weather tire. Give it. More, make it slower than the slicks than it currently is
And don't make it
to.
so it can degrade down into a slick if you let it go for long enough.
Right.
I want to see it just absolutely fall off if it's dry.
Yeah. Well, see, we're in this thing right now where it's like in changeable conditions where it's just sprinkling. It's close enough to where you can put intermediates on when it's just very, very lightly raining and it's as good as slicks, if not better. But then you've got this huge zone where it's like all intermediates, and then it gets to this very small zone where wet weathers work, before it's red flag because there's
Yeah,
too
by
much
then it's
rain.
red flagged.
So we never see the wet weather tires anyway because if there's enough rain to warrant them, then the race gets red flagged. So why not remove the intermediates, put them farther away from softs, closer to the current wet weather tires
Just like one wet
to.
weather tire.
To make it harder to decide whether or not to go onto intermediates or stay on slicks, so that if there are some sprinkles, you're encouraged to stay out as long as you can.
Interesting. Just carnage.
Yeah, I think it would create carnage, yes, but I think at the moment the slicks and the intermediates are too close together.
Yeah, I like that. I don't know what rule that's related to, but I would get rid of that one for sure.
Yeah. All right. That's some bonus content for you, Ben. Speaking of bonus content, do you have any words of wisdom for us this week?
I had a couple to choose from. I already told you one that I was contemplating, but I don't want to single you out too much. So I'll save that in my back pocket. I think today's would be internet security and making sure you have, okay, so super like light level, but making sure you essentially have like an up-to-date enough router that you have like up-to-date security standards, and then just making sure like using like a guest network or something like that for your Internet of Things devices, and making sure you're using like WPA2 or WPA3 for whatever devices are applicable, just to shore up your security. The government already knows everything about you, but random regular people can still get access to it, and it's good to make sure that they don't have your spicy pictures that you send to all your friends.
Yeah, I know that's a problem with you, Ben.
Yeah, I have a lot of spicy pictures.
All right, good stuff, Ben. Thank you for that. We are not sponsored by any VPNs yet, but maybe in the
Yet.
future.
There are dozens of them. One
They
of them
seem
has to
to
pick us up.
like to throw money at podcasts.
The internet.
All right. That will wrap up today's episode. Thank you everybody so much for watching slash listening to this episode of Rev Hang. If you liked it, leave a like or rating on the platform you listened on, like on YouTube and on Rumble. Subscribe if you would like to see more, if you want to see updated standings of F1 and IndyCar, or a calendar of upcoming racing from those series, check out our website, revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, as you know, you can hit us up on any socials in comments or DMs. That would be the best way to get to us, and we may feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N underscore squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, anywhere at RevHang Media. We'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about the IndyCar Grand Prix of Alabama and the Formula One Miami Grand Prix. But until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.